The Museum Murder by Katie Gale. Read by Alison Campbell for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. At least she had the kittens. It was hard to feel down with three fluffy balls of squeaking cuteness staggering around like little drunks. Pip sat down on the floor, scooped them up and bundled them against her chest. "Group hug!" she told them as they squirmed and mewed in outrage. She released them onto the carpet and arranged them in colour order, lining them up from darkest to lightest, and took a quick picture in the nanosecond before they started to disperse. Fully awake now, the kittens headed for their mum, nuzzling into her, looking for supper. The purring from most was loud enough to be heard across the room. Pip checked the photo on her phone. Amazingly enough, she'd got the shot. Three furry little sausages, a black one, a tortoise shell, and a grey, their funny triangle tails sticking straight out behind them. She posted to Instagram, noting that this was her 12th consecutive kitten picture, and about the 100th kitten picture she'd posted since they were born. She knew she should go and take a picture of flowers or sunsets or something for variety, but she was too low. The kittens were about all she had going on for her, now that she'd lost the job at Boston Investigations. Being a private investigator had seemed like a dream, which, really, she should have known from experience, was a sign that things were about to go wrong. She had excelled in the training and started off well. Not even the hard work and long hours had been a problem. She'd had a job at last, and a regular salary check. No more wondering where the rent was coming from. No more begging for handouts from Mummy. Best of all, it had been a good job that she really liked and thought she could be good at. After almost a decade of, frankly, disastrous attempts at finding her life's purpose, or at least steady employment, yes, there'd been some adventures and a lot of fun, but at the end of the day, things always seemed to fall apart. She'd thought that she'd finally got it. But of course, it had all gone wrong. And this time, it wasn't even her normal brand of spectacular mess-up. Just one background check, where she'd spelt Mark with a K instead of a C, which honestly could have happened to anyone. A teeny tiny problem, except that unfortunately, while Mark with a K had a clean record, Mark with a C most certainly didn't. Which wouldn't have mattered, if it wasn't for the fact that they'd been doing checks for the palace, and now Mark with a C had been allowed sight of some top-secret security plans. It had all imploded after that, when Doug Bradford had decided to do his own background checks on Pip. Honestly, he was the one who should feel like a fool for not having done them earlier, especially when he'd already known that she'd basically committed identity fraud to get the job. It was a bit rich, him getting all worked up about the so-called theft, actually the rescue, of most the cat from the vet where she had been temping. And as for the incident with the tractor when she'd been working at the bee farm, she had only been trying to help, and who could have known the thing would be so unwieldy to manoeuvre? So, here she was, once again, without a job or purpose in her life. The sound of Tim's key in the door gave Pip a little flutter of pleasure. Her flatmate's appearance even more so, although he looked pale and tired after a long day at work. His nice blue cotton shirt, Pip's personal favourite, was rumpled, with a small stain on the pocket. Possibly coffee, thought Pip, who was finding it hard to give up on the idea that she was a detective. "How are the kids this evening?" Tim asked, bending down to inspect the bundle of cats. It was a little joke between them, that they were the parents and the kittens were their kids. It was funny, but squeezed Pip's heart a little. When would she be in a real room?